intended it to be his last political will and testament, the sum of his hard-won wisdom from a half-century of public service in war and peace. Most political speeches are full of promises, new deals, and new covenants. Washington's farewell was a warning from a parting friend, written for future generations of Americans about the forces he feared could destroy our democratic republic. Chief among these were hyper-partisanship, excessive debt, and foreign wars, dangers we still struggle with today. Washington also used his farewell address to proclaim first principles that could offer enduring solutions, the pursuit of peace through strength, the wisdom of moderation, the importance of virtue and education to a self-governing people, all as he established the precedent of the peaceful transfer of power. This was Washington's final revolutionary act, an open letter to the American people, not formally delivered in front of legislators, but published in a newspaper on September 19, 1796. When he announced his retirement after two bruising terms as president, the success of the American experiment was far from certain. Just 20 years after the Declaration of Independence, and less than a decade since the Constitution's adoption, the country was erupting into opposing factions, even within Washington's own cabinet. Civil war seemed to be a real possibility. The Articles of Confederation had been too weak to sustain the nation in the years after independence, requiring the triage of a closed-door constitutional convention and the election of Washington as the first president. There was no guarantee this incarnation of the republic would survive. Already there were riots, insurrections, and threats of secession. A sin tax on liquor provoked an armed whiskey rebellion in the western wilderness of Pennsylvania. Overseas, our revolutionary allies in France were overcome by a revolution of their own, as guillotine enthusiasts in the Jacobin regime dispatched ambassadors to undermine Washington's government, with near treasonous assistance from his own cabinet officers. In the president's home state of Virginia, political opponents offered up a chilling toast, a speedy death to Washington. Through sheer force of will and a gritty commitment to the governing principle of moderation, Washington kept these forces at bay while our infant independent nation gained enough strength to stand on its own. None of it was easy. The old lion wanted to retire. At age 64, he still stood a head taller more than most men, but his health was beginning to fail, sparking gossip among rivals that Washington was growing old, his bodily health less firm, his memory, always bad, becoming worse. Always an uncomfortable public speaker, low-voiced and halting, his lack of oratorical confidence was at least in part a function of physical discomfort. The president was down to a single tooth, with a set of dentures hanging around a lonely left bicuspid. His artificial teeth were state-of-the-art for the time, but the man had a menagerie in his mouth. Teeth carved from walrus tusks and hippopotamus bone, then sonorously known as seahorse, as well as the repurposed teeth of nine slaves. This required a clenched jaw and a minimum of smiles. The most self-monitoring of men in public, Washington was becoming brittle and short-tempered in private, occasionally erupting into towering rages. Unaccustomed to direct criticism as a general on the battlefield, he was surprisingly thin-skinned when attacked in the political arena, complaining to Thomas Jefferson that he was being slandered by the press in such exaggerated and indecent terms as could scarcely be applied to a Nero, a notorious defaulter, or even to a common pickpocket. Washington knew his time was running out, writing with uncharacteristic flourish to a friend that the cares of office will, I have no doubt, hasten my departure for that country from whence no traveler returns. His sense of personal urgency was compounded by events. Storm clouds threatened our snug harbors on the Atlantic. Revolutions everywhere seemed to be devolving towards anarchy and terror. Washington understood that utopian dreams often turn into nightmares. The implosion of democratic republics overseas sent shockwaves felt here at home. The idealism of the French Revolution turned to tyranny. Poland's attempt at a parliamentary democracy became polarized and paralyzed. Saint-Domingue's Caribbean slave rebellion was equal parts liberation and slaughter. These stories filled the newspapers, adding pressure to America's attempt to find a durable middle ground between monarchy and the mob. Standing, as it were, in the midst of falling empires, Washington wrote his Secretary of War, Henry Knox, it should be our aim to assume a station and attitude which will preserve us from being overwhelmed in their ruins. The Founding Fathers' fascination, obsession,